Morning. The committee on the subcommittee on Health and Human Services Appropriations will now come to order. Please call the roll.
Senator Flores.
Here.
Senator Stargell.
Here.
Senator Artiles.
Here.
Senator Baxley.
Here.
Senator Book. Senator Pasadomo.
Here.
Senator Powell. Senator Rader.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you very much. Senator Book is excused. Members, today we have just a few individuals who have come here and traveled to Tallahassee to talk to us for a couple minutes about their funding issue. So maybe we can get through these relatively soon so that the members who are on the committee can get home. And I share that because for those of you who come up here and talk today, brevity is good. There is no direct correlation between the amount of time that one speaks and the amount of funding that one receives. And so that is just my public service announcement for today. But we are very grateful. In all seriousness, though, we are very grateful. I mean, these are the folks have traveled, and I appreciate that you are here. This is very, very serious business. And so I do appreciate your time. So we're going to start off with John Lehman with the Florida Association of Recovery Residences. You can. I'm going to say you're not John Lehman, but that's fine.
We're doing the Sober Home Task Force Recovery Residence over in the House right now, and he may be on his way over here. The Florida well, you only got five
go
on
ahead.
There.
Go for it.
So the Florida Association of Recovery Residents was selected by the Department of Children and Families to implement the law that you passed 2 years ago around certification of recovery residences, and their request is $275,000 to provide them the resources to continue to finish putting that infrastructure in place and the training in place so that we can get the recovery residents, which are also known as sober homes across the state, certified. As you remember, your law says as of July 1, you can't refer if you're a licensed treatment program to a recovery residence unless it's certified. And there's been a struggle with the resources to get that fully in place. So that's what this request was for.
How much is the funding request for?
$275,000.
Okay, great. And that's specifically for the Boca Raton?
Well, it's for, yes, for okay. Florida Association Recovery Residents, which is housed in Boca Raton.
Okay, great.
Statewide. It's a statewide initiative.
Thank you.
Can I just make one comment?
Yes, please, Senator Rader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know brevity is important right now. Mr. Fontaine and Mr. Lehman, I've been working with for some time. I'm sorry, I was speaking the microphone. I've been working with Mr. Fontaine and Mr. Lehman for some time about certifying sober homes, making them into recovery residences, because we have an enormous problem, not only in my county where I am in Palm Beach County, but not only in my region, in our state, in our country. I just read something in the last day or so about in Louisville, Kentucky, how over a weekend 20 or 25 kids, young men and women, died on overdoses of this epidemic that's happening. And I found this in my notes on it. I'll show it really. These are hundreds of kids in Palm Beach County, hundreds of kids in Palm Beach County who've died on this epidemic. And today, when we go to bed at night tonight, another 15 kids are going to die. And I find it very important that we stress, not only in this committee, but in this legislature, in the Senate and the House and the governor, to do something. And it goes along the lines of what Attorney General Pam Bondi had a press conference on a couple weeks ago. And I've shared you my concerns, and I know that you are committed to it just as much as I am. And I thank you for these couple minutes.
Thank you very much. We have Emilio Benitez here from ChildNet.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Emilio Benitez, President and CEO of ChildNet. Good morning, Senators. Here on two instances, ChildNet is a community-based care agency that contracts with the Department of Children and Families, both in Broward and Palm Beach counties. have almost 5,000 children who've been abused, abandoned, and neglected in our care. We're before you. This is Melody Morris, one of my caseworkers, and I have Daniel McElstein, also one of our caseworkers, because I wanted them to see this process. I wanted them to talk to many of you, both on the Senate and on the House, so you can understand what they go through every day. Melody has 28 children on her caseload. She should have only 15. Daniel has 24. He only should have 15. I brought them for another reason. They're a product of the system. They grew up in foster care. Daniel in my system. And I listened carefully to what they have to say so we can improve the system. And the system is not perfect, but it improves every single day. The bills before you, one sponsored by Senator Book, one sponsored by Senator Rader, do just that. I'm 59 years old. I'm not a techie. We didn't have cell phones, pagers, or anything like that, or a cell phone when I was their age. At 26, they love their technology. Tech Care for Kids is a subsidiary of ChildNet that was created 6-7 years ago as a result of me going out on a shadowing to see what they do. And I saw what they go through to do a home visit that was 28 pages long. She has 28 children. She has to do 28 home visits with those kids, plus those kids' parents. You add that up, that could be over 50 visits in a 25-day period of time. 28-page report, then put it into a mirror system at the CBC, and then upload it into FISFIN. I needed to find a way to do it simpler, better for them. And Tech Care for Kids has developed an app that takes a GPS component, takes a picture, and prompts them on a simple red light, green light process to not miss a beat on the three pillars of child welfare, which is safety, permanency, and well-being. And everything is documented and uploaded automatically to the system. Now we're working with DCF to see how we could do the same thing for child protection investigators using the safety methodology that the state has adopted. So once the child is removed after an investigation, where do they go? Well, at several places, they go to at the child protection investigator's office and sit there until they're placed. We've created a concept called Safe Place, which is a reception and assessment center that is trauma-informed focused. I'm very glad that one of our sister CBCs, Devro in the Treasure Coast, has now adopted that model. We have one in Broward, we have one in Palm Beach, which uses the safety methodology and other programs to do behavioral assessments, the medical assessment, the first dental assessment, all at one stop without the children having to be taken from one place to the other by a child welfare worker or a child protection investigator. She's doing her work, the investigator's doing their work, and the child is safe in a family-friendly environment, getting all the assessments done. We're asking for $1 million each so it could be shared with the rest of the state and properly developed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And so then that the funding is to get it statewide.
That's okay. That's our goal, yes.
That's wonderful. It's very helpful. Great, thank you very much. Next we'll have Carl Zalek, commissioner from Marion County. Thank you for being here. Yes, great.
We left some leave behinds for you guys, just in case you'd like to know. My name is Carl Zalek, chairman of the Marion County Board of County Commissioners, and great to be amongst you senators. Good morning, Chair Flores, and, of course, our home senator, Dennis Baxley. Thank you for being here, sir. I'm joined today to talk about one of the bills we have filed on behalf of Marion County in the Veterans Home HB 2405 is the appropriations for the State Veterans Nursing Home Planning for Marion County. Give you a brief history. 2014, the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs briefed Governor Rick Scott in regards to the independent study recommending the construction of additional veterans nursing homes in Florida and showed Marion County as one of the 10 with greatest need. We went through an application process and finished second to St. Lucie County, which is under construction and in part of the phasing process today. At that time, we talked with Senator Negron and continued the support of Marion County being the next site. In 2015, Governor Scott proposed funding for three new state nursing homes. Marion County became an ideal regional location, not just for our community, but for how many we can reach. So we're asking for the initial allocation for engineering, appropriation, contract services, and to meet the department's needs. That initial piece is $500,000. So why is Marion County the ideal location? Centrally located, Marion County is within 75 miles or less of 23 of our state counties, 67 counties. In other words, the proximity we can handle and serve more than one-third of the Florida counties. And remind you that because we're centrally located, we're, of course, out of the hurricane and some of the more dangerous prospects on the coastal issues. And the rural counties and their veterans are so underserved. We are in proximity to so many rural counties. It allows us to serve them, so many people that do not have those services, especially within a manageable distance where family and friends can see some of their loved ones. Direct ability to impact more than a half a million veterans within 75 miles. We have 45,000 veterans in our home county. But because of our location, we're able to impact more than half a million. Makes us a great asset regionally, and, of course, why we think we should be the next site. Marion County is home, again, to more than 45,000 veterans and 335,000 residents, more than 629,000 veterans living within the 75-mile radius, home to more than 40 veterans organizations, including the VFW Post, American Legion, Purple Heart chapters, so on. And many of our local counties around us are supporting us in this endeavor to bring this nursing home to a really needy area. Of course, we have plenty of all the other details, and I want to have some brevity. One of the things that we really want to talk about too is the way we serve our veterans. The reason we're asking for this is because we really deeply care about our veterans. In fact, the county has spent its own money, and to create a one-stop shop. Many of our veterans to get services like many other counties are having to go many places in order to receive services. We were able to work with the nonprofits, build a one-stop shop. So when people come in, all of our nonprofits will have the ability to make appointments when they're coming in to see county services. They can come see county services and rent out or reserve a boardroom where they can talk with their folks, manage. Many of those programs are small. And then working, of course, with our VA and the public hospitals to make sure that our veterans receive the highest care. So thank you, Chair Flores, for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Megan Hosa.
My name is Megan Hosa, and I represent Alzheimer's Community Care. And I have two quick requests, which I will complete in my allotted time. Our first request is $1.5 million for Alzheimer's Community Care. Alzheimer's Community Care currently operates 11 specialized Alzheimer's daycare and service centers, 8 of which are in churches, so they are truly community-based. They're located in Martin, St. Lucie, and Palm Beach counties. For every dollar received by the state, Alzheimer's Community Care matches those dollars by 3 from local resources, and this money will go directly to services. The funding will allow ACC to continue to keep 90% of their patients with Alzheimer's and related disorders in the community and out of nursing homes at an estimated savings to Florida of $34 million in Medicaid costs. The comprehensive evidence-based model of community care employed by ACC reduces the financial burden of other social service providers, law enforcement, adult protective services, and hospitals, etc. So the second issue I'd like to discuss is $3 million, and that's for a statewide program, which we are referring to as the Gold Seal for Alzheimer's. The money will be used for a rate differential for specialized Alzheimer's licensed daycare centers. And currently there are 29 located throughout the state of Florida. And that percent differential will depend on, obviously, if we are able to obtain funding, the amount of funding obtained. The idea is modeled after the gold seal for child daycare, which raises the standard of care. And the operational costs associated with this higher standard of care created by that specialized Alzheimer's daycare designation are significantly more than a non-specialized adult daycare center. And these costs include the development of implementation of individualized plans of care for each patient, increased staff-to-patient ratios, increased dementia-specific training for staff, and comprehensive dementia-specific services for both the patient and the caregiver. And the evidence-based model of community care, as defined by the specialized Alzheimer's daycare, it really needs to be encouraged. Many of the you actually have specialized Alzheimer's daycares in your district that would benefit from this funding, and not just Alzheimer's community care. And we'd be happy to provide you with a list of those 29 specialized daycare centers that are licensed in the state. And we respectfully ask for your support in funding and assisting and caring for our most fragile and vulnerable population. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, members, that's a Mark. Okay, I did see Mark Fontaine.
Thank you. Mark Fontaine, Florida Alcohol and Drug Abuse Association. The legislature put $1.5 million in the budget for the use of long-acting naltrexone, which is also known as Vivitrol. It's a medication that sits on the receptor sites and blocks the urge to get high. It's used for alcohol and it's used for opioid dependence. And we are administering that program for the state. I have a fact sheet here that I'll pass out. And what it simply shows is that that medication has been used for 417 patients since we started the program. Providers are reporting great success using that medication in terms of helping people move to long-term recovery. And we'd be glad to supply any other information. What we have had to do is ratchet the program back, because if you look at the bar graph, what you'll see is the utilization of the program was going so there was a lot of utilization by the provider, 25 providers, that we had to both stop the providers from signing up, which is the and in the front, you see where we had to in October reduce, because we have to operate within the allocation, and you don't want to start somebody on a medication that they can't finish. What we do is we simply the providers sign up on the medical protocol. They fulfill that obligation, and we just simply administer the payment back to them, and it's a prescription medication, so it's all run by the physician and the nurses at the respective programs. So we'd ask you all to continue that program. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone that I missed? Come on over. No.
I did put in a card at the very last moment.
Oh. After listening to Ms. Benitez, and I wanted to. Yes, Christina Spudeas with Florida's yep. Children First. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm with a statewide nonprofit child advocacy organization, so we're never here to ask you for funding. We don't take state or federal dollars just so we can be independent. But I just want to testify. I'm just giving some information. Mm-hmm. I heard Mr. Benitez talk from ChildNet about how they need their information technology and that they needed to develop this technology. And I thought that you needed to have a couple of points of information. The company that he's talking about is Tech Care for Kids. It is a for-profit organization. What Mr. Benitez didn't tell you is that he is the CEO, president of Tech Care for Kids. So he's asking for $1 million to be given to the nonprofit child advocacy or child welfare organization, ChildNet, that's funded fully by the state to pay for Tech Care for Kids, which is a for-profit organization which he's affiliated with, and I thought that you need to know that. And I am going to research, and I believe that there is state law that requires that any of this technology purchased under those contracts is owned by the state. So I'm not quite sure that this is able to be done this way. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that information forward.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, great. Thank you all very much. We will take this up again next week. Without any further business, Senator Powell moves we adjourn.